You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear a rebroadcast. What? I know, so legit. But yeah, this is a rebroadcast of an apropos healthy holiday episode from a year ago. I'll explain more in a sec. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. So, a rebroadcast, eh? Well, yeah, I wanted to bring this year-old episode back to life. Give it a new opportunity to hit your ears and sink into your head and heart because it contains incredibly valuable little golden nuggets for navigating the holidays with your sanity and your jean buttons intact. The holidays are a picturesque but very, very stressed time for all of us. I mean, even if you happen to be a freak of nature and have perfect harmony with all your family members and all your extended family members and all your in-law family members, it can be hard to just like feel good throughout November and December and a smidge bit of January too, aka the holiday season. Okay, you get it. The thing is, setting food rules like, I'm only going to eat one award-winning Party in My Plants Teff pumpkin chocolate chip cakey cookies is really not the way to enjoy the holidays. Although those cookies are. And the recipe is linked in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/63. But really, the real way to actually enjoy the holidays and stay healthy during them is to up your self-care game. What's a self-care game? Is it just baths and mani-pedis or something like Monopoly? No, not really. And you'll hear all about it in this episode. So this is a chat with Jamie Mandel, who is a self-care lifestyle coach that's just in love with showing people how to lovingly care for themselves. After struggling with her own food problems for 10 plus years, Jamie Mandel had a mind-blowing and binge-stopping and weight-dropping revelation that it wasn't actually a food problem or a need more willpower struggle that she had, but rather it was a self-care deficiency. Which is a term that I officially coined, by the way. I just loved talking to Jamie about how we can slip more self-care into the holiday shuffle, because if ever is a time that we have food struggles, it's during the holidays. In this chat, we talk about how our relationship with food really isn't about the food. It's actually about the way we care for ourselves. If that sounds a little woo-woo or weird, I'll put it in my simple, straightforward Talia terms. When you give a lot of craps about how you feel, you'll eat a lot less crap. It's true. So as you go about Thanksgiving or the day after Thanksgiving or the weekend after Thanksgiving or Christmas Eve or day or Hanukkah day one or day three or day six, just try to prioritize above all else, sorry, mom, how you want to feel. Does that mean maybe turning down that buttery marshmallow sweet potato thing that your mom made? Maybe it does. Sorry, not sorry. Does it maybe mean not taking home half a leftover pie that you'd likely pick at for breakfast, snack one, lunch, snack two, and dinner for the next week? It probs does. Looking at you, Kristen, who is a client of mine with whom we specifically spoke about not bringing home leftovers and just eating the heck out of one holiday meal. When you prioritize yourself and like care for yourself, hence the term self-care, you'll pretty much automatically make the best decisions for your, say it with me, self. I hope that you really just said that out loud. And the good news is that Jamie in this chat, I promise that I'll get to in a sec, she really gives tangible, do right now ways of thinking and acting that can majorly help you healthfully care for yourself during the holidays. Okay, one last thing. This episode is sponsored by a crucial healthy holiday item of mine, Daily Harvest Frozen Plant Epicness. I'm admittedly newly obsessed with Daily Harvest and their smoothies and chia puddings because I was admittedly very skeptical of getting frozen smoothies and chia puddings and soups delivered to me when I can easily make all that stuff myself, you know? It just seems like, why would I do that? But here's the thing. I realize that sometimes when we can, we pay for convenience. I mean, think about a car wash. You can wash your car yourself. Or a treadmill. You can run outside in the rain or the snow for free. Same deal with Daily Harvest delivery pre-packaged, just add water or almond milk, frozen cups with all the ingredients perfectly portioned out for an insanely healthy and tasty smoothie or chia pudding or soup. As I'm recording this episode for my folks home in Connecticut, have a podcast mic, will travel. You know what I mean? I'm actually sipping on a Daily Harvest mint and cacao green smoothie with banana, spinach, cacao nibs, raw cashews, peppermint, chlorella, and vanilla bean. All I had to do was pull out of my parents' overstuffed freezer, add water, and blend. Think my folks would have had banana, spinach, cacao nibs, raw cashews, peppermint, chlorella, and vanilla beans just sitting around waiting for me to assemble into a superfood smoothie? I'm gonna have to go with no. And think their, no offense, lame and not healthy cereal breakfast would have floated my boat? Gonna have to go with no again. Hence, Daily Harvest saving my day. Lee. If you want to see if Daily Harvest stuff can save some of your holiday days, you can get 3 free smoothies. That's like a free one for Christmas Eve, a free one for Christmas Day, and a free one for the day after Christmas Day. When you use the code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on their site, daily-harvest.com. Again, in case I stuttered or your child screamed or a car honked as I just said all that, you can use code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on their site, daily-harvest.com, to get 3 free smoothies with your first order. Woohoo! Okay. Onward to other forms of healthy holiday self-care. Jamie, I'm so happy to be speaking to you today. When I was doing research on you, which obviously includes reading everything on your website and going back weeks and weeks on your gorgeous Instagram, it actually hit me big time that I'm really lacking self-care in my own life. So I am so excited to talk to you today for personal reasons, as well as I guess for my audience too.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
So in my mind, you are the self-care expert. And I'm wondering if you can just start off by telling us why you're so passionate about helping people up their self-care game.
Sure. So I started my business 4 years ago, and it was really helping women with their relationship with food and their bodies. And that really started because I struggled with food and my weight and dieting and binge eating for about 10 years. And it was just a really, really painful part of my life. And so finally, I started my business and was helping women all the time with their relationship with food. And what I really noticed through working with so many women is that it really wasn't about the food. We were hardly ever talking about food in our sessions and our coaching. And it was really about the way that they were taking care of themselves. So I just realized that it was not really about the food. It was about all these other things that we're often just not taught in, you know, growing up. I know I certainly wasn't taught how to care for myself in all of these ways. And that's really where my passion for self-care came from. And I still work a lot with women around their relationship with food, but they know that it's from a self-care perspective.
That's great. That's so great. So then do most of your clients come to you when they realize they have a self-care deficiency like I just realized? Or do they really come to you when they have other struggles, which then you help them understand is actually a self-care deficiency?
I have a lot of clients coming to me around issues with food and body. And I think that that's probably always going to be the case because so many women struggle with that. It's probably like our core issue that, you know, so many of us struggle with. And it's a massive, massive problem. But they also know that my approach has to do with self-care. And then I also get women too who are really not struggling with food anymore. They're like, I've got that piece down. I've kind of figured that out. And now I really want to learn how to love myself more, how to have more confidence, how to figure out what I want to do with my life and my career and my purpose, how to show up better in relationships and dating and put myself out there. So there's like all these other things too that are that people will come to me for now.
Right. So that makes me wonder, what do you define self-care as? Like, what is it, just taking baths or getting pedicures or drinking tea around some well-lit candles and soft music? Or, you know, what is self-care? Because it sounds like it can really be a solution for such a range of struggles that we all face.
Yeah. So the way that I break it down is mental, emotional, physical, and soulful or spiritual self-care. So kind of 4 categories. And yeah, mental self-care can really be applied to anything and anybody. It's, like I said, all about dealing with the thoughts and beliefs and stories in your head and our inner critic. Emotional self-care, again, is everything. It's with relationships, career, everything. And so...
So it's how we like nurture and understand and take care of our own emotions?
Yeah, yeah. So many of us growing up don't learn how to handle the hard feelings, like grief, sadness, loneliness, shame, disappointment, right? Like there's so many feelings that we feel, especially as women, on a daily basis. We need to be able to feel all of it and know how to handle those feelings. And then physical self-care, that's a lot about food. You know, I talk a lot about food, about movement, about cooking. You know, we want to care for our bodies, and that's part of it. And so how do we create like a really good relationship with our bodies and treat our bodies with love and with care?
Yeah, I always say you got to eat plants with a smile on your face. If you're eating plants pissed off, you know, that's about as good for you as nothing. I mean, you might as well eat the French fries with a smile on your face than eat salad when you're resentful.
So true. Yeah, the way that we're eating and the mindset when we're eating is, I think, so much more powerful than people realize. Like, it's so important. And then, yeah, soulful or spiritual self-care is probably one of my favorite parts of teaching self-care is helping people like get out of the shoulds of, oh, I should do this with my life, or I should have this career, or I should do this with my day, or I should show up at this party, or I should, you know, go for this kind of guy or whatever it might be. And helping people really connect to their souls and what they want and what makes them happy and what lights them up, and kind of like waking people up and helping them really live and lead from a place of themselves, like their soul.
That feels so good to think about.
Yeah, yeah. And again,
like a bath.
Yeah. That's a piece that I was missing for so long. I also feel like, again, we're not really taught how to do that in a lot of cases. And a lack of soulful self-care can also really lead to people using food because they use it for excitement, connection, joy, relaxation, like all of these things that if they're out of touch with their soulful self-care and what they really need, they'll just turn to food. So
totally.
Yeah, that's kind of how I define it.
Okay, so it's definitely not just taking a bath, because I think when we think of self-care, we're like, okay, I'll go get a pedicure, or I'll light a candle, or I'll take a bath. But you're saying it's so much more than that. It's how we process the thoughts in our head, how we handle our feelings, how we choose the foods and the movements, and how we lead with our souls rather than outside shoulds.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm excited to dive into this further. So I guess my next question would be, how could one get started with each of these pieces of self-care? What are some really nice first steps?
For someone who's interested in mental self-care and dealing with their inner critic, our thoughts aren't necessarily real, and that we can create some distance to and the ability to kind of look at our thoughts and understand them and become aware of them. And we don't need to buy into them and believe them. So a lot of our thoughts are triggered by our fears and our core fears. Looking in a mirror and thinking that you look fat and that you have to change your body in order to be loved is coming from your ego or your inner critic that believes that in order to be loved, you have to be skinny. And that's like a programming that's within you. Mm. That's not necessarily true. It's part of your programming so far. And so when you become aware of the kinds of like these stories and these thoughts and these beliefs, you can start to unravel that.
Right. Yeah. Noticing that some of your beliefs are bullshit.
Totally.
And, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. And I remember when I first started realizing all of that, I was like, wait a second, I don't have, like, that's not necessarily true. Like, it's not true that I have to like lose 20 pounds in order to, you know, be in a relationship. Like, maybe that's just something I had in my head. And it was like mind blowing for me when I first started doing that kind of work.
Totally. That's great. And what about for emotional? What's a really cool first step to improve your emotional self-care?
One thing is to make all of your feelings valid. Every single one of your feelings deserves to be seen and to have space and to be felt. And one little kind of practical thing that I encourage people to do is at the end of every day to take like 5 minutes to process their emotions from the day, because we go through so much and we're so busy. Yeah. So you can just like lay there and just put like one hand on your heart, one hand on your belly, and just be open. Be like, okay, what do I need to feel from today? What do I need to process? Mm-hmm. And you realize you're like so excited about something. And sometimes you realize you're actually really sad about something, or sometimes you might realize you're really hurt by something that someone said. And the benefit of doing this is that you're feeling things day to day versus letting things pile up and pile up without you even realizing it. And then you like explode, you lash out, you binge, whatever it might be.
I love that. So it's like digesting your feelings, exactly. Just giving yourself time to just, and I love that idea that we're allowed and we should give each of our feelings some space because, you know, sometimes I just want to feel pissed. Like if I'm pissed at someone, I don't want to not feel that just because maybe I feel guilty about being upset at them. You know, maybe it's not their fault, but I'm still upset. So I like the idea of just giving myself that time to just be upset, but then not necessarily, you know, have to act on it, but just feel it and then, you know, move past it.
Yeah, we don't always need to fix our feelings or like change our whole lives because we feel a certain way. Like, I think that that's a big thing that women are always like, wow, when we go over that, because, you know, we feel pissed or we feel bored or we feel upset and our immediate reaction is like, okay, I need to fix something. I need to change something about me or about my life or about my situation. And it's like, no, you don't always need to. Sometimes it's okay to just be bored for a little bit, you know, or sad for a little bit. And then it just goes away and you move on.
Right. Just digest it. Just like you sometimes get indigestion, but you breathe through it and it moves on.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that.
Okay. So what about physical?
The core of physical self-care comes from a connection with your body because we take care of the things that we love. And so if you are disconnected from your body and you don't like your body and you're beating yourself up all the time and you're like not friends with your body, it doesn't really make a lot of sense that you would expect yourself to want to work out in a way that feels good and want to give your body food that nourishes her. So the core of physical self-care really needs to come from first establishing a relationship with your body and becoming like friends with her so that you actually like her. And then from there, it feels natural that you would want to work out in ways that feel really great. And you would want to find, you know, a balance with food so that she's not feeling crappy all the time.
I love that. I love how you said we take care of the things that we love, which is so true. I mean, in terms of our clothes, in terms of our material possessions, in terms of people in our lives, we take care of the things that we love. And yeah, of course, if we're like in a constant battle with our body, we're not going to want to just naturally feed it healthy foods that make it feel and look great. We're not going to want to move it. You're so right that in order to choose to do really healthy things in terms of food and movement, we have to love our body. And then you're right, it happens naturally and it's a pleasurable experience. Okay, and so for soulful or spiritual self-care, getting rid of the I shoulds, what's a great first step there? Is it maybe identifying the shoulds that you've been kind of ruling your life with?
Yeah, I think identifying shoulds is a really good first step. Another one, I always have people write out like their ideal day or their ideal week. To have soulful self-care, we need to create space and like literal time to daydream and to think about what do I really want? And so coming up with like an ideal day, an ideal weekend, an ideal week, an ideal month is always really powerful because it shows people what they actually want things to look like, not just the rut that they're kind of in, or not necessarily rut, but just like the pattern that they're in. You know, if you had everything ideally how you wanted it, what would that look like? Just to kind of take a peek into your soul and see what you're actually really craving. So that's a good first step.
And you can do that while you're taking a bath.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, anytime.
Double whammy.
Yeah.
So today is Thanksgiving. Well, if somebody's listening to this the morning it comes out, you're listening to it on American Thanksgiving. However, you could be listening to this near Christmas or Hanukkah or Mother's Day or your birthday. And it's all the same because around any sort of holidays, all this stuff gets out of whack. You know, our self-care kind of gets lost in the shuffle of holidays. So do you have any specific tips for what somebody can do right now? If they are listening to this on Thanksgiving Day, what can they do today to really up their self-care game?
Yeah. One of the biggest things around holidays or anything where there's just like lots of people, lots of energy, is definitely taking time for ourselves, really just to kind of come back to ourselves, reconnect with ourselves, be in our own energy. And it's through that that we're going to be able to really hone in on what we need throughout, you know, these high intense moments. So this can look like just taking a few minutes in the morning, like when you get up, light a candle, take a couple of minutes to just breathe, to read, to journal, anything that feels nourishing for you and what you feel like you need at the time. But just being intentional about saying you're important, like speaking to yourself, you know, like you're important.
I am important.
I am important. Yeah. And I'm going to take a few minutes before my energy goes out to all my family and friends and all the chaos around me.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, you could just listen to music or just do something that just makes you feel that you gave yourself something. Because you're right. Like on holidays, it's all about other people, really, you know, especially when there's a family gathering. There's so many different people's needs and opinions and stuff, where if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to kind of suck around your family. You're going to be more snippy.
Yeah.
You're going to be more, you know, unpleasant to be around. And so just even rocking out with your headphones to like a song or just like, I don't know, drinking tea or whatever. I feel like just reminding yourself like I matter is a good way to start the day.
Yeah. And you set the tone for the rest of the day too of, you know, I matter, I value myself. And so you're more likely to check in frequently throughout the day or like kind of feel a little bit closer and more in tune with yourself if first thing in the morning you give yourself that time.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So what's another thing?
I mean, one thing to be addressed here is, and I'm hearing so much of this from my clients right now, is this idea of I have to look a certain way for the holidays and I have to, you know, lose these 5 pounds and show up with all my family and have everyone be like, wow, you look awesome. And there's a lot of anxiety around how we're going to look and be perceived at the holidays. You know, maybe some of us put on a few pounds or we're not as fit as we once were. And this can bring up so much anxiety. What I want to remind people of, and this is, people are attracted to your vibe. They're not going to notice nearly as much as you think, or maybe not even at all, the weight that you've gained or how you look. They're going to care about the energy that you're bringing to the room.
So true. So true.
Yeah. And what's going to allow us to bring that loving, vibrant, positive energy to the room is being comfortable and at peace with ourselves. So I just want to give anyone who's listening permission to just let it go. Let it go.
It really
doesn't
enough. Freaking
you're
matter.
Worthy. Yeah. Yeah.
I love what you're saying, that people care about your vibe. It is so, so true. If you walk into a room and your energy is just so high and amazing and you're positive and you're confident, you know, being the key word, confidence, you could have gone up 2 pant sizes since last Thanksgiving when you saw everyone, but your confidence is going to draw people to you. They're not going to care about your pant size. And I find that if you do kind of like tiptoe around, like hiding certain parts of your body, people are going to notice that. And then their attention is going to be drawn. Oh, wait, actually, wow, she did gain weight. But if you walk in and you're like, hey, guys, no one's going to be like, oh, she's gained weight. They're going to be like, wow, she's so happy. She's amazing. I love being with her.
Yeah. And that's all anyone ever wants, right, is to be happy. So like that's the point of why everyone tries to lose weight anyway, is to be happy. So if you're just coming in with happiness, that's like the end goal for every single person, right? We're all just trying to be happy. So you get to decide if you get to be confident today or not. It has nothing to do with how much weight you've gained or lost, what size your pants are today. That we are so wired to think that that in, like dictate whether or not we're allowed to be confident. Ugh. But it's completely ourselves that gives us the permission to be confident.
And just allow yourself
to be joyful.
Yeah, just today. Just give yourself a little gift. Not to sound totally corny, but like really, I mean, the only way you're going to enjoy a holiday or any special day is if you allow yourself to enjoy it. And, you know, if you really do feel bad about some weight you've gained or whatever, or you're not where you want to be, work on that for the year in a slow, comfortable way. But don't let it ruin today. It's so not worth it.
Whew. Yes.
That was intense. Ooh, I know, that was really intense. Okay, so what about some physical activity? Because one of my must-dos on a holiday day is to work out or move my body in a way that I love in the morning before the day gets freaking nuts. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. physical activity on any on a holiday like that is good for two reasons, or actually a few. One is that it gets you connected to your body. So again, we're talking about like in the holidays, there's so much external stuff going on, and so, and it's easy for us to be outside of ourselves. So, you know, just like the morning, you know, doing something for yourself in the morning, physical activity gets you back into yourself, back into your body. And that's only going to help you kind of navigate the holiday with a little bit more ease, a little more intuitiveness. It's also really good for you because just realistically, there's just so much more food around the holidays. And every one of us is probably going to overeat. Like, that's just a normal thing to do. So I also want to say that too, that no one should be beating themselves up for it. It's okay to have a little bit of extra food. But having some physical activity gives back to your body. But I always say, like, your body will take one for the team. Like, your body is kind of allowing you to eat that piece of pie or eat like a little bit of extra hors d'oeuvres or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. It's your body's kind of helping you out. And so physical activity is a way to give back to your body and give her a gift because she's allowing you to like have all this food.
And blow off some steam. I mean, you know, if you're feeling anxious or nervous or overwhelmed or excited, it's just a great way to blow off some of that steam. I mean, personally though, I've tried different types of physical activity in the morning. And one mistake I have made, I don't know if you agree with this, but not doing something like really intense, like CrossFit type workouts or something with weights, because honestly, that'll jack up your hunger. You talk about overeating. I mean, you will go crazy. I typically like to do something a little bit more grounding, like a run or a walk. I mean, I love to take walks with the family. It's really, especially now that we have a dog, it's a really fun activity that everybody can enjoy.
Yeah, totally.
And one thing also you mentioned is like that we all overeat on the holidays. It's not like a bad thing. Like when you think overeating, oh no, I overate. You're just enjoying more because there's more options, you know? So mm-hmm. I wouldn't even look at it like overeating. It's more just like, wow, I enjoyed so much food today, but that's kind of what a holiday is for. So I'm glad I enjoyed all those different flavor profiles.
Yeah. And I think that the more that people are okay with, like you just said, okay with the fact that they're going to try lots of different things and they're going to really enjoy everything, the less they'll have that, you know, throw in the towel, I'm going to eat everything that's not nailed down mentality.
Totally. Yeah. So another thing that I know you feel strongly about is pleasure, focusing on pleasure. So how would that fit into somebody's self-care regimen for a holiday?
I think pleasure should always be a priority. And it also just takes some of the focus off of all of the food and just gives you an opportunity to fill your pleasure bucket with other things that are going on so that there's not, you know, those desserts that are there are not the only source of pleasure. They're one source of pleasure mm-hmm. and they should be, but they don't need to be all of it. So really just focusing on having as much fun as you can, connecting to people in a way that brings you joy and that you find interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and that could be like, I always suggest to clients that if they take the focus out of the food, you know, so if they're at Thanksgiving and there's pie on the table, but they're really engrossed in this conversation with their aunt and they're loving the family connection and the holiday vibes, like, aren't they going to be less inclined to have this inner struggle over the pie? Like, they won't really, I mean, they're not likely to like shove it in their mouths if they're enjoying a wonderful conversation. And they're also not likely to like have these crazy dialogues with themselves, these battles, should I have it, should I not, should I have it? You know, like, I feel like if you focus on these other things, like you said, like Christmas music, like who doesn't love Christmas music and candles and lights? I feel like that can take the focus off the food. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that that's part of it. I think that basking in all of the amazing things about the holidays and all of the pleasure that's available to people definitely helps and definitely takes the focus off of the food.
Yeah. That's good.
One other little self-care tip around the holidays is, you know, there's so many people around, there's so many emotions, there's so much family drama, is to really take time for themselves. Like, even if it's going to the bathroom, shutting the door and just breathing for like a minute, those little brief moments of just solo time and, like we said before, digesting your feelings and just calming yourself down is also really important. A lot of times we'll like eat because we have so much swirling around in us and we're like vibrating mm-hmm. at such like an anxious, like high energy. And so we just, totally. Like, eat and eat and eat. So especially before mealtime, go into a bathroom, take a minute, calm yourself down, get your emotions to calm down, get back into your body, and then approach food and make decisions in that place.
Yes. I think there's such like frantic energy on holidays that if we don't stop and smell the roses or smell the pumpkin or smell the Hanukkah candles, mm-hmm. we're gonna miss it. And the holiday is supposed to be cheery and warm and lovely. So if you're mm-hmm. just fretting about food or fretting about your pants or fretting about other, just don't fret. Just find pleasure in everything, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much opportunity for love and connection and pleasure if you really open yourself up to it.
Yes, I love that pleasure and joy because, you know, we're doing fun, quote unquote, things like holiday parties and family gatherings, but maybe that's not really pleasing us on a deep, intimate level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's important to do things that please yourself.
Yeah.
Don't mean anything deeper than what I'm saying.
Or maybe. Yeah. No. Yeah. Doing things to please yourself. And then also, how can you maybe like put a spin on the things that are stressing you out? Like, I love your example before, but getting into like a really interesting conversation with your aunt, you know, that you normally would have like maybe not. And how can you get more pleasure out of the things that you're actually doing anyway?
Yes. Boom. Okay, so I've got some final fun questions for you.
Cool.
Changing it up to a little bit of food here. So I'm curious what you would say your favorite plant party restaurant is.
Ooh, gosh.
It's a tough one.
I like Candle Cafe in the city.
Mm-hmm. I saw you've been to Butcher's Daughter. That's a great one.
Butcher's Daughter is great. I just went to Angelica's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That was really great. Yeah.
Cool. Do you have a favorite dish throughout all of New York City that you love to get when you're craving some good fruits and veggies?
I mean, my favorite thing is just like bowls, you know, like mm-hmm. with grain and veggies and lots of different veggies and some sort of like bean or something and avocado and like really good dressings. That's just
always your favorite my one?
Thing. All of the places I just mentioned, that's like all I get there.
Cool. And what's your favorite plant to eat?
I love cucumbers. Oh, little thing I've
that's random.
Had. Yeah, love cucumbers. I've always loved them since I was a kid. I could just eat like an entire cucumber for a snack.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, so healthy.
Yeah.
What's your favorite way to eat it? Just
I just
is.
Like it. Yeah,
like a banana.
yeah, I just take off bites. I usually chop it up and then I dip it in some sort of dressing or hummus or something. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. Cukes. Can you name one book that's majorly improved your life in some way?
Self-Compassion by Kristen Neff. It's a really great book.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds up the alley of this interview.
Yeah.
Cool. And so where can people go to get more self-care help from you?
Yeah. So my website's jamiemendel.com. Everything's on there. And I'm pretty much on Instagram for the most part in terms of social media. So it's Jamie A. Mendel on Instagram. And yeah, I send out weekly blog posts and coaching emails so they can sign up on my website for that. And I launch a group program all about self-care once a year called Master Your Life, which is currently in session. We're about halfway through. Oh. But,
and you have an intuitive eating challenge.
Yep. And I have an intuitive eating challenge and that's ongoing. So people can sign up and start anytime.
What's that like?
So it's 21 days where I guide people through how to go from like the diet mentality to a normal relationship with food. And like thousands of people have done it. It's a huge, it's a really, really cool program. Even though it's only 21 days, it's very effective. So definitely say if people are struggling with food, it's a really good first step. It's easy access. It's $49. And there's a Facebook group that goes along with it. And they get like daily emails every day for 21 days with lessons.
Sounds good. Maybe I'll join.
Yeah, I'd love to have you in there.
More about it. Thanks. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about self-care.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you got the extra kick in your velvet holiday pants. Gosh, velvet is so in right now. I'm freaking loving it. But I hope you got the kick that you needed to now make taking care of yourself on a holiday or on any day more of a priority. Remember, peeps are attracted to your vibe, to your positive energy, to your warmth and your confidence, which, by the way, you get to choose to be at any given moment. No love handle measurements needed. If you can think of one other folk who could benefit from this chat in their ears, please, for the love of mulled wine, share it with them. And God, I love my mulled wine recipe. You should really check out my recipe for mulled wine, plus all the deets from this episode, which both are hanging out at partyinmyplants.com/63.